Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning at verse 17, a few verses, a familiar passage to us all. We've looked at it before in different contexts, but it's Jesus telling a parable, telling a story, and this is what he says. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" And that's the comment by the younger son. Then he said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him." That is one of the most dramatic and hope-filled lines to me in all of Scripture, that last verse. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." You know, as the year continues for us at whatever pace and on whatever paths we're pursuing, dealing with whatever we encounter along the way, today I want to remind us of something that you may have noticed that you already needed along the way, but we're going to need along the way, not only this year, but every day of every year that God is leading us. But also, I want you to remember one important thing. What we need is already there for each of us to turn to and embrace. Carefully woven within Christ's parable that we just read, or portion of the prodigal son, that verse I reread is one of the most accurate depictions to me of the nature and the grace of the God of the universe, our Creator, there for each one of us. And yet, when we read it, so often it seems to be, you know, words, a good story, maybe even a great promise, pretty cool. But it seems so far from anything that could ever be a part of our lives or ever happen to us, right? A wonderful, hope-filled line of Scripture, which paints a picture for us of a God who runs to us, who throws his arms around us and kisses us. Even if we are able to envision the idea alone of God running, as opposed to our usual images of God kind of hanging around, standing up in the sky, walking amongst the billowy clouds of heaven, which our mind's eye tends to paint, at least mine does. God running to us, toward you, toward me, is another leap of faith altogether. Running to me, to you, to us. Really? I don't think so. And as we sit here together at the start of another day, I know it's one of the hardest concepts for you and for me to embrace fully for the daily living of our lives. I know it's been hard for me, and it has taken many years of simply learning to believe, of learning to push the walls down and allow that in, that grace of God, moving past the past, opening my life, trusting his words, watching his faithfulness continue to unfold for me and before me every day, and feeling his hand of grace on me. Grace. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. That's what we'll need. God's grace. God lifting us up when we fall down. God reaching back and pulling us out of the pits of our mistakes, our wrong choices, our failures, and all the guilt which we tend to wrap around those moments, which leaves us in a world of darkness. God who reaches down and back and lifts us into all the fullness and all the sunshine of the lives he intends for us to live and which he has set before us. Or as the parable shows, when we are in the worst of the worst places, God is there running to us. God running. Remarkable concept. Jesus knew when he told this story, that men of that father's stature in the community at that time did not run. It wasn't dignified. It wasn't proper. But there's the scene. Straps cinched tight on the sandals, robes pulled up over his knees, sweat pouring off his face, hair blowing behind him, while heading full speed toward his lost but now found younger son. Perhaps if we are compared to that younger son in the story, if we could accept the idea of God really running, maybe he would run to us. I mean, if he ran to that wayward son, he was a derelict. You know what he did? I mean, a son who squandered his inheritance. He worked feeding pigs in a distant land, and he longed to eat what he was feeding the pigs. Good gosh, if God would run to him, surely he'd run to us. But that's where our thinking always goes sideways. When we begin to compare ourselves to others and trying to find a spot for ourselves within God's everlasting, eternal, and loving arms, just even a little spot, we begin to evaluate our worthiness to God in terms of worldly standards and in comparison to others. I may not be as good as that guy, but I'm certainly better than this guy over here. It's always merit with us. It's always merit versus God's grace playing out in our minds. It's you and me feeling as though we need to do something to earn God's love, to be successful. So we'll be successful. We'll be a great leader or a great coach. We'll win. Nope. Big surprise for you guys. None of that works. But see, that's what we always do. We try to justify God loving us, coming to us, running to us. We compare ourselves to others. Until we're able to say, well, compared to someone else, certainly God would come to us. But we also tend to go the other way. And it's not as good. Nothing is good of just accepting that grace. But the other way is we don't tend to think we're good enough to begin with. Certainly not as good as that person or that person or that person. So we don't deserve God's unmerited love at all. And sadly, that feeling is too often born out of years of childhood and beyond, years of frowns. As a child, a young adult, even an adult, angry words, smirks, affection withheld, rejection, and abandonment, which has left too many of us believing that we always have to do something to receive a smile or some love or an affirming word, a pair of open arms. Years during which we were too often told, directly or subtly, that someone else was better than us. Or everyone else was better than us. We began to believe that others were better, in fact, and more deserving than we were. To many of us, as we read it, the story of the prodigal son is a neat story. It's a good story. That's pretty cool. But it's not our story. The God of the universe isn't going to forgive us, isn't going to run to us and love us like that. We didn't earn it. Not yet. We just don't deserve it. And the reality is, guys, that we don't deserve it. And my friends, we can't ever do enough to earn it. If it were about merit, my friends, we'd never make it. It would never happen. If it was about doing the work, about earning it, about being good enough, God would not run to any of us. Take a deep breath, relax, because the truth is even better than that. Thank the Lord, literally. That's not about earning or merit, but it's all about grace. His grace, God's amazing grace for you and for me, simply because he loves you. Bank on it. And as the story points out, it's not about what we deserve, but how God sees us. It's a message of God's absolute and unequivocal love for us, totally undeserved, totally unmerited, and totally available, always, from a God who always runs to us, no matter what. So what are you going through? Facing uncertainty in the days ahead? What are you struggling with? What mistakes are you carrying around that you cannot get beyond? Feeling as though you have given so much and yet it didn't seem to be enough. Feeling a little short on the world's comparison meter when matched against others? Well, while those thoughts might be swirling around in your head, here's the gospel truth that you and I need to hear and need to claim for our lives. You have all the love you will ever need in the one who loves you most and controls it all and runs to you. The one who sees you and knows exactly where you are this very minute, who was with you in your most difficult times, and who knows how he will use all that you have been through for your good and his glory. And he even knows the next steps that you'll take with him. Phillips, Craig, and Dean was a musical group, and they sang a song a few years ago entitled When God Ran, in part which highlights that message like this. Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord. The only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest. said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice, he said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" Caught me by surprise when God ran to me. Get the picture? God running to him. God running to you and to me. One last thing to note. The thing that jump-started that father running to his son. When did the flood of that father's love begin to overwhelm that son? For the answer, listen again to one of the verses that we read a minute ago. When he, the son, came to his senses, he said, "I will go back to my father." There it is. That's what jump-started the father running to the son. When the son came to his senses and turned back to his father, in turning back, he gave his father a chance to show him how he felt for him. And the father, who was always waiting, always looking for him, ran to him. That's our God with us. The same God running after you and to you when you've lost your way, when you can't dig out, when you've done something you can't lift your head up from or forgive yourself for, when you've fallen one too many times again and again. Believe it. Hold your head up high with your eyes focused on him. Turn to him and watch God run to you. It's a picture worth remembering and framing for today and every day for the rest of this year, for the rest of your life. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. For my friends, I thank you for this reminder. I thank you for their lives. I thank you how you are in ways that we don't notice at times and often not enough, that you are always there, how much you love us, that we try, we work, we figure we've got to do this and that just so you'll love us a bit, so we can find a place in your loving arms. Not so. You love us. You run to us. And you're always there for us. Help us to push the walls down and receive that. And with that, to find the power, the presence, and the peace to move forward into becoming all you created us to be with you. Thank you, Lord. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.